The views and opinions are those of the speakers and do not represent those of KKCR, its board, its underwriters, or its DJs. Good afternoon, Donna.
Good afternoon, Cousin Rich. How are you?
Hold on. Something's not right here. How's that? Let's try that.
Good afternoon, Cousin Rich.
Hello, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing really well. It was great to see you.
Nice to see you. We had a nice little picnic last night at Kalihiwai. Watched the sunset. Bonfire. It was nice to see you.
Good food and the bonfire was wonderful.
It's always good to see you.
Likewise.
And today we have...
yeah, go ahead.
We have a guest.
We have a wonderful guest.
And what's her name, Donna?
Stephanie Senoff.
And she's a senior research scientist at MIT. Good afternoon, Stephanie. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm happy to be here.
And you also live on Kauai, right?
I do.
Right on.
Part-time.
Uh-huh.
Want to be full-time, though. I love this island.
Uh-huh.
Stephanie, I'm just thrilled that you're able to join us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And you've actually been on a couple other radio shows recently.
I have. I love this radio station. It's great.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to chat for 20 to 25 minutes, maybe a half hour before we get calls. So please hold off on that while we have a nice discussion about what?
We are going to be talking about autism. Stephanie has done extended research on the subject. And Stephanie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into researching?
I'd be delighted to. Yes, I have an undergraduate degree from MIT in biology and a PhD in computer science. And most of my career, I've been in computer science with some angle involving biology. But over about the past 6 years, I've pretty much converted my research to be 100% biology. And I'm really excited about that. And I've done that because I've discovered an amazing number of things about biology and about dysfunction that's associated, in my opinion, with the modern lifestyle and the particularly the nutritional deficiencies and the environmental toxic chemicals that we're exposed to.
Right. And I know you've done extensive research on glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Roundup is the most used herbicide on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and the United States uses 25% of the Roundup that's used worldwide. So we love Roundup in this country. And the results show in the various problems that we have with our health.
And currently, we're working on passing a bill.
Yes.
2491. And right now, there's some hearing going on, right?
Yes.
And with the county. And so this is a very important time to learn all we can about what are the effects of pesticides.
That's right.
And what is it, 80 tons of unrestricted pesticides are being applied?
I think it's 20.
20.
But it's hugely more of Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of Roundup is much more than the total of all of the restricted use pesticides. Roundup is not restricted use, which I think is a big mistake. It has managed to get past approval a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since 1975, it's been building and building and building in our environment. And nobody seems to be, very few people are aware that it's causing all these problems.
Right. And I know I've been reading research, especially from Argentina, where they've really converted so much. I don't have the number of, do you have the number of the amount of hectares that they converted into
they've just
GM
become
soy.
A monocrop of soy, GMO soy.
GMO soy.
Yes.
And they've had so many health effects.
Yes.
Creating birth defects. And
in fact, you can read on the web things, mothers will write about as the airplane flies over spraying the glyphosate, her child has an asthma attack. So I think the asthma is directly connected to that.
Right. And there are many, many acute symptoms and also long-term symptoms.
That's right.
That we don't even know yet for how many generations.
Yes, it's not going to be just this generation. Even if we stopped using Roundup today, we would have repercussions echoing through the future generations.
But there's been a high incidence of autism, isn't there? So let's talk about, how you got interested in researching autism.
Yes, I've been interested in autism for at least 30 or 40 years. I had when I was young, I had a friend whose son got a vaccine, had a ran a fever, a week later had a seizure, and then was subsequently diagnosed with autism. And that planted in my mind the idea that vaccines might be a causative factor in autism. And that was the first thing I looked at. About 6 years ago, I got really, really worried because I was seeing the rates rising alarmingly fast. And this has continued for those 6 years. It's gotten even worse. You know, from 1 in 150, which is already very high, just maybe 5 years ago. Today, it's 1 in 50.
Wow.
It's really scary. And it's there's no end in sight. And all the factors that I've identified are getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I predict we're going to have half the kids with autism by the quarter century mark.
Wow.
If we stay the course.
Wow. So tell us more about what you're finding.
Yes, well, it did start with vaccines, and actually mm-hmm. then I got interested in aluminum, and that's sort of a sleeper in the vaccines. People all think of mercury,
mm-hmm.
and mercury is problematic. But the focus has been on mercury, and the vaccines have a lot of other things in them that are toxic besides the mercury.
Right. And the mercury was taken out of a lot of vaccines. What was it, in 1999?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, they took the mercury out, and then they sneaked in. Rises. They raised the amount of aluminum in the vaccine immediately after they cut. As they were cutting back on the mercury, they were increasing the aluminum. And the aluminum, I think, may have been an even worse, factor in causing autism than the mercury that they were taking out. So they showed that, in fact, the autism rates didn't go down. In fact, they went up after the mercury was removed, and therefore they exonerated the mercury. Which was
right.
not what they should have done. They should have said both the mercury and the aluminum are problematic.
Mm-hmm. And there are other chemicals, of course, that they put.
That's right.
And adjuvants, right?
Yes, yes. Formaldehyde and DNA. And I mean, a lot of vaccines are really scary, I think.
Mm-hmm. They really are. We had Barbara Lowe Fisher call in, and I interviewed her some months ago, and that was really informative.
Yes.
But and she has the website National Vaccine Center, and so that's a very informative website. And on that website, you can see that she talks about 49 different. Actually, 49 vaccine administrations by the time mm-hmm. a child is 6 years old of 14 different vaccinations.
It's so scary.
And so there have not been any studies, right, about the combinations of vaccinations.
I know. Well, they get approval without looking at what would happen if you mixed them all together at the same time. And always these toxic chemicals are synergistic, meaning that when you put two of them together, you get larger than the sum of the two parts. They work with each other to cause even worse damage, sometimes enormously worse damage than they would do independently.
Right. So tell us more about what you're finding with the adjuvants that they put in, particularly aluminum. You said it's more,
yes.
You find it to be even more problematic than mercury.
Yes, aluminum is a very, very, and people don't realize that because it's sort of all over the place. We have aluminum foil and aluminum pans. We have aluminum in sunscreen, which I find very, very alarming.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the aluminum to soak in through your skin. And I have studied the effect of aluminum on physiology extensively. It's amazing what it does. And one of the things that it does is to disrupt the synthesis of cholesterol sulfate in the skin if you mm-hmm. put it on the skin. And cholesterol sulfate is a molecule that I've identified as probably maybe the most important molecule in our body right now with respect to the pathologies that we're seeing, not just autism, but obesity and diabetes and heart disease and Alzheimer's and various stomach problems, arthritis. All of these things, I believe, relate back to a deficiency in cholesterol sulfate. And it's synthesized in the skin upon sunlight exposure. So it's very clear that insufficient sunlight exposure is a factor in autism. You see that from every different parameter you can measure if you look at the 50 states. It's a very nice thing you can do with statistics. Being a computer scientist, this is something I know how to do. And I've gathered a bunch of data on all these different factors, looking at all the 50 states, and you can find out their autism rate estimated by the number of kids that are diagnosed on the autism spectrum in the school system. And one thing you'll see is that there's a striking correlation with vaccination rates.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very, very loose parameter measuring the over the whole state, the number of kids that are, the percentage of the kids that are vaccinated, and then over the whole state, the number of kids that are enrolled in the autism program. mm-hmm. and you find a statistically significant correlation between those two.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at all these measures of sun, annual rainfall, latitude, number of sunny clear days,
mm-hmm.
Temperature, all of these things are correlated with autism in the way that more sunlight would be protective.
Mm-hmm.
And then people use huge amounts of sunscreen, even what little sunlight they might get is disrupted by the sunscreen. And the aluminum and vitamin A in the sunscreen both interfere with cholesterol sulfate synthesis.
Right. And particularly parents with kids, I often see, are really afraid of their sun exposure.
Yes, they've become conditioned.
Yes.
To fear skin cancer.
Yes.
And ironically, skin cancer has gone up. Melanoma has gone up by 3% every year since we first started campaigning, like in the 1970s, that mm-hmm. we should be using more sunscreen. So more and more sunscreen is being used by people in step with increased rates of melanoma, which is the thing you're trying to avoid by using the sunscreen. So it's actually backfiring. And the reason is because the body's natural mechanism using cholesterol sulfate is a much better protective mechanism than the sunscreen. It's a natural mechanism. It's very effective. But the sunscreen disrupts it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also the sunscreen has some very toxic ingredients in most of the commercial sunscreen as well, besides aluminum.
That's right.
And also antiperspirants. I wanted
to
mention that.
Yes, antiperspirants also have aluminum.
That's another big
one. And baking powder. You have to be careful when I bake.
Yes.
And there are certain brands that don't have aluminum.
Right.
There's aluminum in a lot of baking
products. There is antacids.
Product.
Antacids is another one.
Yes.
Right.
Which is really bad because you usually have a leaky gut if you've got stomach problems, and the antacids are more likely to, the aluminum is more likely to come through if you've got gut problems.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're saying the aluminum, if you have a leaky gut, is going to permeate through the colon lining and
get into the bloodstream
and then get
into the brain and cause things like Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
and autism perhaps in the offspring, in mm-hmm. the children of a woman who's been exposed.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very fascinating about the cholesterol sulfate that you found, and that's absolutely one needs sunlight, mm-hmm. right, in order to synthesize it. It has something to do with vitamin D3 as well, right?
Well, in fact, the body also makes vitamin D3 sulfate. And what people mm-hmm. don't really realize is that vitamin D3, if you look at the chemical structure of vitamin D3 and of cholesterol, you have to stare for a long time to see what's different between those two molecules. They're almost identical. Vitamin D has a broken bond. Compared to the cholesterol. So vitamin D3 is derived from cholesterol. And mm-hmm. it's really interesting that vitamin D3 is considered a miracle molecule and cholesterol has been demonized. It's very, very bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's been demonized, and it's such an important building block for many, many compounds in the body.
That's right. And 25% of the body's cholesterol is in the brain. And mm-hmm. the neurons really, really depend upon the cholesterol for signal transport. So mm-hmm. for transporting neuron signals, which is absolutely everything the brain needs to do.
What have you found with the relationship to autism and cholesterol?
Yes, well, it's maybe harder to show that mm-hmm. directly, but one thing you can certainly show is the sulfate. Heparin sulfate is a very important molecule in the brain, mm-hmm. and they have designed special mice. They do experiments with these rodents, and they've designed a special form of them that have a deficiency in the ability to make this molecule called heparin sulfate, specifically in the brain. They can do it everywhere in the body, but not in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And those mice reproduced all of the mouse-appropriate symptoms of autism. They were completely autistic as a consequence of this defect, which really points to the sulfate as being a problem. Sulfate transports cholesterol. So cholesterol can travel bound to sulfate in the blood much, much more easily than it can if it doesn't have the sulfate. That's because the sulfate makes it water-soluble.
Mm-hmm.
So without the sulfate, it has to be packaged up inside a particle like an LDL particle. And its LDL is the thing that everybody's worried about, and everybody gets on statin drugs because they're afraid their LDL is too high.
Right.
So the reason why it might be too high is because they don't have enough cholesterol sulfate.
And we're going to be having, Stephanie, we're going to have you back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first and third Monday when we have Health Talk from 12 to 1. And we're going to be talking more about statin drugs and cholesterol because you've done a lot of research on that,
mm-hmm.
right? So that'll be another great show to tune into with Stephanie. So in terms of autism, you know, we know that there's a not very good functioning of detoxification pathways, right, that
right.
they found with kids with autism.
It's definitely the case. Autistic kids have, it's very clear they have a problem with sulfur metabolism. Mm-hmm. Sulfate, remember, is the molecule I referred to that's made by the skin. I should say that's kind of like the skin working as a solar panel. So it's really cool that it can actually capture energy in that sulfate molecule from the sun. So that's also really neat. But the sulfur deficiency is both a deficiency and abnormal distribution of molecules containing sulfur, which are very, very important to the functioning of the physiology of the body.
And, well, let's talk a little more about glyphosate
mm-hmm.
and Roundup and what you found there.
Yes, and I'd like to say that it took me, I was looking through all the different environmental toxins that might be a factor in autism, and then I would study each one to see if it made sense and if it fit. And it took me a long time to think of glyphosate because of the very reason that Monsanto claims it's harmless. They say it's a very, very safe herbicide. It's a full-spectrum herbicide. It kills just about every plant, except for the ones that have been GMO-engineered to be resistant. And this is a very scary thing to me. I started to look at Roundup only about a year ago, and I was fortunate to be able to hear a lecture given by Don Huber, Professor Don Huber, who's mm-hmm. a retired expert on plants from Purdue University. And his lecture blew me away because I was stuck on certain features in autism. I knew that things were happening, and I couldn't explain what was causing them, and in particular the disrupted gut bacteria,
right,
which is a very clear pathology associated with autism. They have a lot of trouble with their digestive system. They often have they're put on gluten-free diets and casein-free diets, and
mm-hmm.
They have inflammation, they have diarrhea, they have constipation, so all these different indicators of gut problems, and it's known that they have an overgrowth of pathogenic bacteria. And it turns out that glyphosate is well established that it messes up the gut bacteria so that the pathogens overgrow and the good bacteria become preferentially killed by the glyphosate.
Mm-hmm. And we see this a lot with even just antibiotic use.
And glyphosate is essentially an antibiotic. Even Monsanto will say that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not
mm-hmm.
just anti-plant, it's anti-life.
Right, right. And it kills all of the plants except for the genetically modified
right.
plant. But even the genetically modified plant, it lowers the nutrients in the
yes,
plant.
Yes, and in fact, it substantially lowers the nutrients from what people have done. And not enough research has been done.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I was really struck by and something that I found on the web, huge reduction in the amount of sulfur in the corn
mm-hmm.
that was GMO Roundup Ready corn treated with Roundup. So this is an indicator that you're going to have sulfur deficiency in your diet if you're eating foods that are exposed to glyphosate.
Mm-hmm. Now, most of the genetically modified corn, which is, what do they say, about a 90% of the
90% of the product
that we have in the United States, and I'm not exactly sure of the percentage, is the BT corn.
Yes, well, both of those are high, like in at least 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Both, and then the number that have, I don't, wish I knew this number, but a large percentage of the corn has both BT and Roundup Ready together.
And the Roundup,
yeah,
right.
So that's going to do double duty on your, well, assuming BT blows up the digestive system of the bugs that eat it, so it's kind of hard to imagine it wouldn't do something bad to your digestive system if you ate it. It sort of makes sense. Yeah.
And
it's been shown, by the way, in pigs. There's a recent article on swine, and it showed enormous problems with inflammatory gut
mm-hmm.
when they ate BT corn and GMO Roundup Ready corn.
And I know I've read studies in Europe, like in Germany, where they've actually tested pregnant women's blood and also general population, and they found BT in like 90-something percent
wow.
of the blood samples. And so here we have another pesticide factory
yes.
that's going into the intestinal tract.
Right.
And is also going to be eliminating the beneficial bacteria.
Yes.
But it looked like when I was reading your paper,
uh-huh.
Which has been, it's just been fascinating to,
uh-huh.
to read your work. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about it. But the kind of overgrowth of pathogenic bacteria is more anaerobic. yes, with the glyphosate.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right, yes. And they produce really toxic things like picrisol. Mm-hmm. It's the C. difficile. It's interesting because a couple bacteria that are becoming really, really problematic in the hospitals today, like they have multiple antibiotic resistance. C. difficile is one of them. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I think, is a pneumococcus. Pneumococcus is one of the very few bacteria that are able to metabolize mm-hmm. glyphosate. So I could imagine that its overgrowth is a consequence of the fact that it's actually doing a good thing for you, which is to break down the glyphosate. But it produces formaldehyde in the process, and formaldehyde is a known neurotoxin and a carcinogen.
Right, right. And we also have the formaldehyde that's in the vaccines.
That's right.
The vaccinations. And phenol is, I guess, a form of formaldehyde.
It has a similar problem. It also uh-huh. is toxic. It certainly causes toxicity in the liver. Mm-hmm. And picrisol is a phenol, a toxic phenol.
Mm-hmm.
And those are definitely, in general, a broad spectrum of toxic phenols are overproduced in the context of glyphosate.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up, by the way, also in the urine of autistic children.
Mm-hmm. So some of the beneficial effects of the important flora in the intestines that are killed by glyphosate and by antibiotics. Do you want to talk more about that?
Oh, yes. Well, they produce. So, in fact, glyphosate kills them directly by virtue of interfering with their production of a set of amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
And these are essential amino acids for us because we can't make these amino acids. And the reason why we can't make them ourselves is because we don't have the pathway that glyphosate disrupts. And so Monsanto says that glyphosate is harmless to us because we don't have that pathway. But the fact is that because we don't have it, we depend upon our gut bacteria to produce these essential amino acids for us. So when they're unable to make those amino acids, we're going to become deficient. And that deficiency explains so many things that I'm seeing in health problems today. So in particular, tryptophan is one of those amino acids, and it's a precursor to serotonin, to
mm-hmm.
melatonin.
Mm-hmm.
Serotonin and melatonin. And then you also have tyrosine, which is a precursor to melanin, which is the thing in the skin that protects you from sunlight exposure. So now you've got this other connectivity to potential harm from the sun because
mm-hmm.
you're unable to make enough melanin. And that means you wouldn't be able to tan.
Mm-hmm.
And tanning, of course, is a very protective mechanism that the body uses. But serotonin is implicated. Serotonin deficiency is implicated in an amazing number of things,
yes.
including autism, Alzheimer's disease, obesity, depression, and violent behavior,
right.
all of which are symptomatic of our society today.
And, of course, lack of sleep, insomnia.
Insomnia, right, is directly tied to the melatonin,
mm-hmm.
and we have huge problems, sleep problems in this country. So it's very clear we have a deficiency. Then you have these drugs like SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are designed to allow the serotonin to stay longer in the synapse. Because
right.
there's not enough of it, they're trying to make it last longer, which is a really bad thing to do because it's going to mess up everything else
mm-hmm.
in the biology.
Mm-hmm. And, and I find in general just that people are very protein deficient
yes.
on the whole.
That's right. Methionine, I didn't mention, is another protein that gets knocked down by glyphosate. And methionine is the principal... It's at the base of the sulfur and the methyl pathways. These are really, really important in biology. And methionine mm-hmm. supplies both the methyls and the sulfur. So that when you have a deficiency in both of those, again, you have a whole host of problems, which we're seeing that match with that.
So, coming back to autism and other brain disorders, you know, being caused by glyphosate. So you have, you know, all these different angles
mm-hmm.
which you can relate to Roundup, to glyphosate. So you have the lack of sulfate,
right,
and the methionine and the tryptophan,
mm-hmm.
and you have the gut bacteria
yes.
being destroyed.
Right, and then, of course, when you have an overgrowth of pathogens, then the macrophages come in. The body wages war on those pathogens, and that causes a lot of damage to the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get leaky gut.
Right. And then there's an inability of the body to decrease the amount in the liver to, mm-hmm. to be able to get rid of the toxins.
This is really huge because, and this is another piece of the puzzle with glyphosate. First of all, it depletes sulfur, and sulfur is really critical for detoxifying many of the other toxins we're exposed to. And secondly, it disrupts a class of enzymes called cytochrome P450 enzymes. And this class does an amazing number of things in your body that are important, one of which is to detoxify a large class of environmental toxins, including things like acetaminophen, which is Tylenol. So, in fact, there's a paper about Tylenol being related to autism. A child has an adverse reaction to Tylenol, and that could directly be because it can't detoxify the Tylenol, so it sticks around too long and causes damage.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be because of the glyphosate.
Mm-hmm. And you were seeing an increase of the MMR vaccination, which didn't have heavy metals added to it.
Right? Yeah, MMR does not have aluminum in it. However, it's often administered with other vaccines that do. So you wonder whether,
that's
in
true.
Fact, it really effectively does.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't tested it in the context of, and they don't put in aluminum in it because they have probably found that it's too dangerous. So, but they're willing to let you have another vaccine that might provide that aluminum context for you.
Yeah, it's just incredible to me that they can administer to a 2-month-year-old babe child that's only drinking breast milk and hasn't had any solid food introduced.
I know.
And they're getting multiple vaccinations.
Yeah, even preemies, which really amazes me that they'll have preemies that they just insist they have to get their vaccines, and they especially cannot afford to face those toxins that are in the vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that if people want to call in, we can accept calls now.
Sure, but first I must say you are listening to Health Talk at KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Haleiwa. And Donna Kaplan, Dr. Donna Kaplan, we're here the first and third Mondays of the month. It's always good to see you, Donna. And we have a wonderful guest today, Stephanie Seneff. She's the Senior Research Scientist at MIT. And we'll give out phone numbers toward the end of the show. And our subject today is autism. And I also have to say there is a special county council meeting today for the committee to review Bill 2491 regarding the disclosure of restricted use pesticides. Citizens can view the live stream on the kauai.gov website. Click on the county council tab. Direct testimony can be made by email at counciltestimony@kauai.gov. Right on. And also, someone lost an iPhone on the side of the road past Hanalei going toward Haena. And if this is your phone, call Scott at 826-9370. And I'm lost and found. All right. So we're ready for the phones, 826-7771 and toll free 866-275-1112. And I request that we keep the subject on what we're chatting about, which is autism. So please give a ring. Thank you. Okay.
Right. So so we're also talking about this relationship with this bill that 2491. That is really important to support.
It is, yes. I've been very active with the bill. I testified at the open hearing on Wednesday. And I want to say that bill actually, although it only targets restricted use pesticides, anyone who comes under its jurisdiction by using above the limit, it then has to report not just their usage of the restricted use pesticides, but also of the Roundup. So we'll get that covered as a monitored toxin.
Right. And as we said before, it's about 80 or 90 tons of Roundup that's estimated being used by these chemical companies
on
Kauai.
And it's 880 million pounds in the U.S. Every year of Roundup. It's an amazingly overused herbicide.
And I hear that Hawaii uses a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that they're using it at the side of the road and things like that. I think it should be stopped immediately.
You could buy it in large containers with its own little spray hose for your gardens. And I always read the precautions just out of curiosity and know that nobody reads the precautions
right.
and how to use this product.
Yes, and people think if they can just pick it up at the local hardware store, it's probably not very
exactly.
toxic.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And there have been so many... there's been so many health effects that are affecting people now
mm-hmm.
Who are living particularly on the West Side. And there's a, mm-hmm. a lawsuit that is
right,
that is
I know
going
about
on.
That. I attended the Saturday mm-hmm. event where they told us about everything. It was very sad to hear.
Right. And so there's a lot of autism and asthma and
yes.
Other neurological problems and a lot of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that there are 27 cases of cancer on one street.
Yes, I heard that too.
And then I can't imagine, you know, the exposure from the air drift, and then
I know.
You have the groundwater.
I
exposure.
Was stunned to know that the companies didn't think anything of spraying these chemicals right next door to a public school, because children, of course, are especially susceptible to these things.
Yes, yes. And you want to talk a little more about that from your research?
Well, let's see. One thing I would actually like to bring up is the bees, bee colony collapse
uh-huh.
syndrome.
Uh-huh.
Because we wrote in our paper, we had a paragraph about that, and I suspect that Roundup is playing a critical role in that. It's really been... 2006 was when it really started to kick in the U.S., and they really became aware that we have a huge problem, and that was really as the Roundup usage was starting to really climb because of the development of Roundup-resistant weeds
mm-hmm.
as a consequence of using so much Roundup on the GMO Roundup-ready crops.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the bees are now getting, and they're also increasingly using Roundup now as a desiccant. At the when the crop is almost ready to harvest, they spray it with Roundup in order to kill it because they want to reduce the amount of residue that has to be cleaned up. I find that absolutely shocking because
mm-hmm.
This means it's going to get into our food supply, and it's also going to bees will be exposed at a time when they're collecting pollen. So it's a very vulnerable time for the bees.
Yeah, and the bees are just absolutely important.
They are. They're really essential
for health and ecosystem and everything, huh?
Yes, yes. So it's a tragedy, really. If we lose the bees, we're going to be in very big trouble with some of our crops unable to pollinate the crops like the almonds.
Yeah, and so we have, I mean, when I think about all the exposure that people are getting here on this island, particularly on the west side and also in Lihue, where they're spraying where they have the GMO crops and spraying there, puhi, and then folks that are eating foods
yes.
that are completely tainted with the Roundup, with the glyphosate, and also the BT corn.
That's right.
As well. So
yes.
are getting the pesticide, the herbicides from all
and
angles.
Probably in the water, too.
The groundwater.
Yes.
Right. And bathing.
Yes, it's very,
well.
Very hard to avoid at this point because there's so much of it out there. But we certainly do what we can. My husband and I eat a strictly organic diet, and we basically mm-hmm. have just eliminated those foods that are the GMO foods, so the canola oil, you know, and the GMO corn, GMO soy. If you can just avoid those, that'll be a good first step. But I think you should try to go 100% organic, and this will encourage organic farming, which is already a very thriving industry here in Kauai, thank
mm-hmm.
goodness.
Mm-hmm.
We really appreciate having Harvest, the Harvest Market.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think there's an organic grocery store in just about every town up here in the north, which is really special.
It is.
And it's also interesting, a lot of products from Italy are non-GMO, and
yes.
they're proud to say that.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, their pomi tomatoes, it says no GMO.
Yeah.
So the Italians
people
are
starting to realize that
yeah.
that's a thing you want people to know,
yeah,
that that's a feature.
Absolutely. Seems like the Europeans are so ahead.
Oh, they're really against the GMOs. Mm,
yeah,
they're really
they
fighting
are.
Hard.
Mm. I think 60 different countries are against having GMOs.
Yes, they're labeled in every continent except North America and Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And what could you grow in Antarctica?
Yeah,
exactly.
I know.
A snowball.
Yeah.
Oh.
So kids are particularly vulnerable
yes.
to these pesticides, and they're because of their brain development, mm-hmm. right? And the effects, the direct effects on the neurons.
Yes, and in fact, glyphosate, I said it disrupts cytochrome P450 enzymes, and one of mm-hmm. those is an enzyme that breaks down aromatase, it's called. Well, there's aromatase, which converts testosterone into estrogen, and autism has been sometimes termed a sort of super male syndrome because there's too much testosterone. So that's where you have the direct effect of potentially, and we haven't proven this, but glyphosate would make sense if it disrupts cytochrome P450 enzymes, and aromatase is one, that it could be that it's disrupting the aromatase and causing the excess testosterone and not enough estrogen, which is causing the brain then to develop abnormally.
Right. And they do say that there's a higher incidence in boys than girls.
Yes, right. It's substantially higher in boys, and that would explain that differential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it also disrupts an enzyme that... Have we got a call?
You were saying it disrupts an enzyme.
An enzyme that breaks down vitamin A, and that's also very, very important in development, to break down that vitamin A. Otherwise, you'll have strange things happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me see. Good afternoon.
Aloha.
Hey, aloha, folks. Great discussion, and really appreciate all the valuable scientific-based information. Thank you. The one comment I wanted to make is it's really interesting how there's a lot of people who are well-informed and also have good hearts and are really standing on the other side of this issue. And I think one of the reasons why is perhaps they haven't been affected personally by some of the health problems, the ill effects that come from these chemicals. And mm-hmm. I just think there's a lot of different levels of immune strength out there, immunity strength, and some people just have really strong immune systems and they haven't been touched by this yet, and neither have any of their children.
Right.
And it makes it really difficult, especially like for someone like me, because I'm like the canary in the coal mine. I was like been dealing with this my whole life. And without any scientific degrees or anything like that, I just did a lot of observation my whole life and learned to deal with it with meditation, martial arts, nutrition, whatever. But just became really educated about all this in the school of hard knocks, so to speak.
Right. I meet a lot of people like you who share with me their story, and then they really can dive deep into the research, even though they're not trained in biology or anything. They're just interested because of their health. And these people really know a lot. And they're helping me actually to figure out the puzzle by sharing their stories with me.
That's really good, because my voice really is pretty hollow because I don't have any degrees except for my helping myself, mm-hmm. my family, and my friends. It has a lot of value that way, and maybe working with trained professionals. So I just really appreciate that somebody who's dedicated their life to science can come out with the numbers, the facts, and perhaps steer some of these people into doing something a little bit more sane with all this, because we do have choices.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think it may be up to the consumer, because if the consumer will speak with their pocketbook, and I realize it's more expensive to go organic, but if people put pressure for the grocery stores to produce more and more organic products, then that's going to put pressure on the farmers to grow organic products, and eventually it will turn things around. But like you say, the people who don't get sick, you don't realize it's a problem until you get sick. And often you get sick by getting cancer when you're in your 50s. So all the rest
exactly.
of your life you were happily going along thinking everything was fine. And now you've got cancer in your 50s. And you realize, oh, my God, maybe it caused this, but it's too late. So it's really insidious. It builds up very slowly. And eventually you reach a point of where your body can no longer make those adaptations to cope with all those deficiencies and all those toxins.
Yeah, that's one reason I was just so enamored by that meeting Wednesday. That was like democracy and free speech at its best. It was so amazing to see so many people show up from both sides and give their story.
And so many people actually weren't able to even get in who wanted to testify.
Yeah, I was going to suggest
like
that KKCR replay that sometime, like at midnight when they're typically playing just recorded music, the whole thing, because I didn't even know it was on until around 4:30 when I put it on. And if they could just advertise that and just say, you know, whatever, on August, this so-and-so from midnight till 6, we're going to replay that, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. And then today, awesome. Today's meeting is being broadcast on,
Ruby,
I think, do you know where it's, how to listen to it?
I don't.
Well, Cousin Rich is on the phone right now, but but we'll get that information out again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling.
Oh, good. This gentleman called. This is pretty groovy. There's an app on smartphone, Foodcot, like Boycott,
mm-hmm.
and you could scan any product, and it'll say if it's GMO.
Yeah, there's also Boycott. I should have mentioned that. Boycott is one that we use, B-U-Y-C-O-T-T. I think there's quite a few of these. And Boycott is actually very, very popular. It's one of the most popular applications available on the iPhone. It's really great because you can just scan on the code, and then you can send them a message and say, I won't buy your food because it's GMO.
Oh, right on.
Yes.
So we were just talking about, do you have the info on how somebody today can listen into the county meeting?
Sure. Okay, there's a special county council meeting today for the committee to review Bill 2491, which is the disclosure of restricted use pesticides. You can view the live stream on the kauai.gov website. You click on the county council tab. And direct testimony can be made by email at countycouncil.testimony@kauai.gov.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So for those tuning in, we have Dr. Stephanie Senef here on Health Talk, and we're so happy that you're here and sharing the incredible, you know, amount of information that you've uncovered.
Thank you.
So we were talking about, you know, the importance of organic food mm-hmm. and supporting organic farmers and organic products and how that can ultimately turn around the way the market is.
That's going to be the way to do it, because I think that the government has been is so convinced that Monsanto's on the right path that it's going to be extremely hard to turn that around through political process. So I think people can vote with their pocketbooks, and that will really, really mm-hmm. drive the development of organic, which can eventually then replace these monocrops that are going to destroy us if we continue along this path, I think.
Right. And in terms of autism, let's talk about, other than looking at a completely organic diet, which is very important. And actually, before we get off of that, I want to say that, you know, I have a lot of patients that don't quite understand that if you get a natural, let's say you find a natural chicken to buy, that actually if it's not organic, then you're still being exposed to the chemical pesticides and herbicides that are fed to mm-hmm. The chicken, to
they
the animal.
Much higher levels that they allow the animals to consume, and they feed them all these GMO crops that mm-hmm. are laden with pesticides.
Right.
That was a caller who said that if you call Hoike, which is our channel 52, at 246-1556, they're playing again last Wednesday's event. And so you can call them for their program at Hoike.
Oh, excellent.
And we have a listener. Good afternoon.
Aloha. Can you hear me?
Yes, but I think you need to turn your radio down or off.
Okay, it's off. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi.
Okay, I wanted to ask both of the women, other than diet, what are some of the things that moms and dads can do to help their children once they've been diagnosed as autistic? And I'm going to go off the phone so I can listen on radio.
Thank you.
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned sunlight, so throw away the sunscreen. Certainly don't mm-hmm. use any, don't give them any antacids, nothing. Watch out for aluminum everywhere in the environment.
And no acetaminophen, too, right? Mm-hmm. No acetaminophen, too.
Right, no acetaminophen, and let them have a fever. I mean, I realize sometimes it can get dangerously high, but don't worry about a fever if it's only 101. Just let them have that fever rather than giving them that Tylenol.
I talk about, you know, with my parents having a healthy fever, because the fever mm-hmm. is the body's response to fighting the pathogen in the body.
That's right. And in fact, I have a paper that I've written with colleagues that argues that the fever may be part of a process that actually is able to produce sulfate. So it's
a very interesting
theory
That's
that we have
very interesting.
From taurine. And taurine is a really interesting amino acid. It's the only sulfonated amino acid. It's found only in animal products. So I think if you're a vegetarian, you won't get any taurine in your diet.
I would love to see that paper. Dr. Sendhoff.
Oh, okay, I can send that to you.
That sounds very interesting.
Yes.
Excuse me, Donna, may I ask a question?
Sure, I wanted to talk more about fever because I think that's important.
What about the cooking of aluminum pots? They're wrapping food in aluminum foil.
I know. I would recommend avoiding that, especially if you have an autistic child. But in general, just really watch out. It's unfortunate. You know, aluminum was not in our environment at all until the late 1800s when we finally figured out how to make aluminum alloys. And that's also when Alzheimer's first appeared. So I think it's directly linked to Alzheimer's as well as to autism. So it's really something to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think of it as toxic because it's in aluminum foil and aluminum pots. We don't realize how toxic it is.
That's right. And in, as you said, baking soda.
Right. And we've talked before, you and I and Catherine Downey, about the seniors getting their flu shots and,
oh, yes,
and all that.
I hate the flu shot. Yeah. And I was so upset at MIT. They sent everybody email saying how happy they were that all the pregnant women had gotten their flu shot.
Oh, my gosh.
I was so stunned because that's mercury in the flu shot. I've never gotten a flu shot, and I never will get one. I think it's terrible that they're giving those to babies now. They've suddenly decided everybody needs a flu shot. It's not even working. When you look at the flu rates, it's not improving.
Well, they had a real increase in miscarriages after the H1N1 scare hype. And, that's when they really started giving pregnant women and children the flu shot.
And what about the popularity of the shingles shot now? Is that also not good?
I don't like any vaccines. I'm especially upset with Gardasil, and they're really campaigning for Gardasil for teenagers, not only girls but also boys. It's supposed to protect from cervical cancer, and I think it's a terrible idea.
HPV virus.
It's a very
horrible vaccination.
It's got a lot of bad stuff in it, both aluminum and mercury, as well as recombinant DNA. It's really a toxic vaccine.
It's causing a lot of Guillain-Barre incidences.
Yes, and it's causing a spontaneous abortion at 8 months. Mm-hmm. It's really a scary vaccine.
And it's likely causing more cervical cancer.
I know. There is actually, I've looked at the data on that.
Have you?
It's amazing because people are getting cervical cancer at very young ages following a program of
Administration.
Of Gardasil.
I've seen that as well.
Because it kills off only some of the species, and then the other ones might be more toxic than the ones it kills off, and they're allowed to grow because the vaccine has disrupted their competitors. The more toxic species is able to grow.
Yeah, that's a vaccination that's important to talk about. But back to this caller's question, I wanted to just say, about fevers, I talk about a healthy fever between, 101 and 102. And beyond that, then the body's putting too much energy in the fever. But that's, what it takes to help to kill the pathogen in the body, being a virus or a bacteria. But there are some simple things that can be done for a fever, like wiping the skin down with vinegar, and that will cause quick evaporation, which causes the body's temperature to lower. So that's one thing that can be done. And then there are herbs that are diaphoretic herbs that are very helpful as well. Mm. But in terms of other treatment or protection for autism, building up the good beneficial bacteria, right?
Yes,
Dr.
so Sennett? Probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like Epsom salts. That's a really easy one, Epsom salt baths.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy those easily, and you just sprinkle it into your bath water. That's magnesium sulfate, so your skin will absorb the sulfate through the skin, and that will supply you with sulfate. So that's, I do that myself on a regular basis.
That's really interesting that it there again is the sulfate connection, because I found, clinically that for people who are having exposure to different toxins or to the radiation that's come here from Fukushima or that's in our food, that's been really helpful in helping to detoxify. Yeah.
Yes.
Again is the sulfate connection.
That's right. And in fact, there's
which
a lot
I'm
of
learning about
papers.
So much from you.
Yes, I've read several papers on magnesium where they'll say magnesium has this interesting effect that's positive, and we don't understand how it works.
Uh-huh.
And it'll find that it's magnesium sulfate that has this effect.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at the magnesium, but they should be looking at the sulfate, because then you can explain how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that repeatedly. It's used in preeclampsia, and preeclampsia to me is a sulfate
right.
deficiency problem.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
And they use it also to solidify tofu.
Ah,
yeah,
interesting.
When they make the soybean curd and add Epsom salt. That's what solidifies it.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So that probably means that's a health benefit.
Yeah,
of tofu,
I was just
as long as you eat organic tofu.
Right. Wow.
So that's great. So
we have about 5 minutes left, so this has been very, very wonderful.
I'll say one more thing with respect to autism, which is that there's a whole bunch of different molecules that are considered healthy that are, in my opinion, healthy because they transport sulfate.
Mm-hmm.
This includes vitamin C, vitamin D, resveratrol. Resveratrol is found in wine, and that's supposed to make wine is supposed to be healthy because of the resveratrol. But resveratrol transports sulfate, and also all the flavonoids that are in the very colorful fruits and vegetables that you eat. Those also transport sulfate, and the medium-chain fatty acid that's found in coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
So coconut oil is considered beneficial for Alzheimer's disease, and interestingly, it can transport sulfate from the gut to the liver, which is what is really, really critical to keep you healthy, to get the sulfur, because sulfate transport is difficult, and these things can help you transport it.
Mm-hmm. And whatever we can do also, in addition to those things, to eliminate the inflammation and the irritation in the gut lining,
That's right.
To heal the leaky gut syndrome, is very, very important, and there are a lot of things that we can do to help that as well, which, you know, it looks like we don't have time to get into right now. Do we have another caller?
No, she was just interested if the show is being recorded, and I said she could call the station manager and we could put it on a thumb drive for her.
Oh, okay.
So, which I'm going to do for myself.
Or actually, we can have it archived
onto
the website.
Oh, good.
So that would be great.
This is interesting. There was a show on PBS this week on autism.
Mm.
They didn't touch on any of this, though.
Yeah, they're not catching on. No, it's frustrating for me.
So addressing leaky gut syndrome is very, very important for preventing and treating
autism. It will prevent all the symptoms, by
autism.
The way, because that's what's causing the brain problems.
Right.
The gut-brain, it's something called the gut-brain axis, and they are intimately connected. When the gut isn't unhappy, then the brain gets in trouble as well.
And once there's leaky gut syndrome, then you get more and more food sensitivities and more toxins that are getting into the blood. So identifying what those are and eliminating them is important. And working with a holistic doctor like myself, you know, who specializes in identifying food sensitivities is one thing that would be helpful. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Where can one get information?
Oh, yes.
Please, let's give out information.
Yes, okay. Well, I guess the best thing would be if you Google my name, you'll find a bunch of stuff. I've done a lot of videos and radio interviews, and I have various papers. But I have a web page, which you could maybe get, which is people.csail.mit.edu/senef, S-E-N-E-F-F. And that's my webpage. You'll find a bunch of stuff posted there that you could look at.
Great.
And it's Dr. Stephanie Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F.
Yes.
So you spend a lot of your time in Massachusetts?
I do.
Oh, it's beautiful there.
Yeah, it's not bad. And we're there in the fall, and I love it in the fall. It's so pretty.
And Donna? Village.
It's where I grew up.
And you're, that's right. That's right. You Yankees, you. And Donna, what about information where people can contact you, please?
I'm at 828-6153, and feel free to call and with questions or suggestions on what we can talk about on the show. And you can also find my website at kauai-natural-medicine.com.
Okay, so how about some final comments on what people can do?
Yes, well, as I say, go organic.
Go organic.
I really want to encourage everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait until you're sick. Glyphosate is very insidious, and the studies that Monsanto has done only go for 3 months. If you go for 3 months, you don't see the damage, because it takes longer than that for it to happen. And it can take years and years or even decades, and you just slowly erode your health. And then you're going to get something you're going to really regret having, and it'll be too late.
Right.
So you really want to act early in your life to keep yourself healthy and vibrant for as long as possible. You don't want to have Alzheimer's, you know, in your 60s. You really don't. So stay away from the glyphosate, eat the organic foods, eat whole foods, don't eat the processed foods. Stay away from things that have long lists of chemicals. Get lots and lots of sunlight exposure.
And no Coca-Cola.
No Coca-Cola, for sure.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, we didn't, corn syrup,
we didn't talk about aspartame.
Right.
There's lots of bad things out there, and you want to avoid all of them to stay healthy, and it will really work.
Well, and thank you, Stephanie Seneff and Dr. Donna Kaplan.
Thank you, Cousin Rich and Stephanie.
And you'll
thank
be back
you so
with
much.
Us again, right?
I will.
Right on,
talking
honey.
Talking about statin drugs
okay,
in two
good.
Weeks. 2 weeks.
And
in
up
two
next,
weeks.
2 weeks, yes.
Yes.
And up next, my good friend Richard, One World Radio.
Right.
Thank you, everyone. This has been a very great show. Thank you, Donna. You're
thank
wonderful.
Thank you.
She's
you
great.
Too.
She'll be picking.